verse 34. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. And this is what Jesus said. He said, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And I'd like to speak today about what God has prepared for his people. This was in reference to heaven. It was in reference to our eternal home. As the Hebrew letter said, here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. We know that we're living now, we know this is temporary, but we seek a home that is eternal. And the Lord said, in speaking about what it would be like when he comes again, how that he would gather all nations before him. And truly, as it says in that great old hymn that we sing from time to time, truly there is a great day coming. These things are real. They're real. They really are going to take place. There's a lot of people in the world today that don't believe that, but they're going to find out that these things are true. The Lord, he is going to come, and he is going to gather before him all nations when he does. And the Lord said that he would divide them. He would divide those from his people that are not his people. He would divide them. And he said that he would say to his people, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you." And he said that it had been prepared from the foundation of the world. Now, there are things that we don't yet know about it. There are things that we really won't know what heaven is really like until we get there. But I believe that deep within the hearts of people that are saved, we read about this in the scriptures, and I believe that we experience it through the Holy Spirit as well. But I believe that deep in the hearts of those who are saved, that we have a great excitement about seeing the place that God has prepared for us. Sometimes that feeling might be stronger in our hearts than it is at other times, but we have a great anticipation that's before us of experiencing what God has prepared for us. Now, there again, we don't really know what all that it will be like, and we won't know until we get there. But we do find throughout the scriptures that there are things that are spoken. There were things that were written through God's inspired word that we can look at and get perhaps somewhat of an idea of what we have ahead, what we have waiting for us, and what we can look forward to. But God prepared this place for his people. And you know, I really believe that when God, and I've seen beautiful things on the earth, and I know that many of you have gone places where you have seen beautiful things on the earth. We talked a little bit about this in our prayer meeting Wednesday evening, but I'm persuaded to believe that the earth was really a beautiful place before sin ever entered the picture. I believe that the garden that God planted eastward in Eden was probably Well, I believe I can say confidently that it was more beautiful than anything we've ever seen on earth. But we've seen beautiful things here, even though the world has been touched and plagued by sin. There are beautiful things that God has made. But the place that God has prepared, especially for His people. You know, God made the earth for all men to dwell on the earth and for animal life and for plant life. But the place that God has prepared for His people to dwell has got to just have beauty beyond compare. And in the seventh chapter of the Revelation, and in the 20th chapter of the Revelation, and in the 21st chapter, there are things that we're told, and I'm not going to turn and read that and go through all of that, but I'm sure that many of you have and would certainly encourage you, if you haven't, to read those chapters and look at some of the things that we are told concerning our heavenly home. The seventh chapter of Revelation tells us that it will be a place of eternal, continual worship. It talks about them being assembled around the throne and just continually worshiping the Lord. You see, we won't have bodies there like we have here. We won't have bodies that will ever grow tired, or we won't have the things to distract us that we have here. And so there will be an eternal worship in heaven. And it's going on right now. Those that are already there have already joined in that worship. It talks about those who are there, those that have washed their robes and made them, that have come out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, and they are before the throne of God, and they just continually worship Him. Now, that would be, that's really something to think about, isn't it? We come here, and we begin to worship, and, you know, there are those times when the Spirit of the Lord moves among us in a great way, and we really get free. We really find liberty in the Lord, and we begin to worship. And I know that I'm confident that you have been the same as me at many times, that you get in a service like that and you just would like to just see it go on all day. But the time comes when we have the benediction and we dismiss, but that won't happen in heaven. We will just be in a continual, eternal worship service. And I'm persuaded that, you know, my heart wants to worship. You know, that part of me that God has cleansed and touched and saved, it wants to worship. But sometimes we just allow the temporal things of this world to get in the way. We shouldn't, but we do. And time is, time is something that hinders us on a lot of occasions. And so it gives me great joy to think about being able to worship God just continually. I would say around the clock, but that wouldn't be proper because there won't be a clock. There won't be any time where we're going. So that won't hinder us. I do believe this, that we'll have a greater understanding. You know, now we see through a glass darkly, but there's going to be a time when we're going to be much more illuminated, and we're going to have a greater understanding. And I'm persuaded to believe that the worship that our hearts wants to give to God, that when we get to this place that God has prepared for us, that we're going to be able to do that better. We're going to be able to worship Him more perfectly. The 20th chapter of Revelation talks about this being a place where earthly things will have passed away. You know, Paul said, our light affliction is but for a moment. And he also said that I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And so we are going to a place, those who have been saved, we are going to this place that God has prepared where things that we have known on earth will not be known anymore. They will have passed away. And among those things that are mentioned, one of them is death. The Bible says there in the 20th chapter of Revelation that in heaven there'll be no more death. Another one of those things that will pass away is sorrow. I mean, how many people could live a life on the earth and never know sorrow? Nobody. I mean, we're all going to experience it. We're all going to know it. Another one of those things is pain. It says there'll be no more pain and there'll be no more crying because God will wipe away all tears from our eyes and these things won't be experienced anymore. No wonder the Apostle Paul, in his writing to the Philippians, no wonder he said that he had a desire to depart and to go. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Now, you know, all of these things are wonderful to think about a place where we will be able to eternally worship without being hindered by anything, to think of a place where the sad emotions and things that we experience here will be gone, to think of a place where there'll be no more sadness or sorrow or weeping or mourning or pain or death or any of these things that we experience here. But, you know, there's something about heaven much greater than that. And that is what Paul said was his desire, to depart and to be with Christ. To be with Christ. You see, Jesus wants us to be with him. He said to his disciples in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know, I wish that all of my children and grandchildren lived real close to me, where I could see them frequently, but they don't. You know, God has a great desire for his children to be with him, to be where he is, and that's his plan, and that's what he's going to accomplish. And that's what he told his disciples that in the 14th chapter of John that he would accomplish. You know, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And if I go, I will come again. I will come again, he said, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, you know, when the Lord told them that, they didn't really know what was ahead. When he told them to not let their hearts be troubled, when he told them to not be afraid, when he told them to cling to this promise that, you know, I'm going to prepare a place for you and I'm going to come and I'm going to receive you, they didn't realize at that moment, I don't suppose, the persecution and the things that would soon befall them. But I'm persuaded to believe that as they went through it, that their vision of heaven was able to help them and sustain them in their trials to just think back to what their Lord told them, that there's a great place for them and that he would be coming again to receive them. And now those, the ones that he was talking to directly, when we find what is recorded there in that 14th chapter of John, now they're with him. They're with him, and they've experienced what he was talking about and the great joy that he was telling them about. We do have sadness here. And, I think a lot of times one of the things that we have to do here from time to time is we have to go attend funerals, because death just continues to invade the ranks of the human family. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, and death just continues to come. It hasn't been abolished yet. It's still happening. And I think a lot of times when we are at these services, if you look at the scene, when our brothers and our sisters pass from this life, when you look at the earthly scene and you see there that family has gathered and friends have gathered, and there's weeping and there's mourning, and the preacher is standing up there, preaching the sermon at the funeral. And I've done that many times and looked out and seen the sad faces of people because that their loved ones have left. But listen, those who have been saved, while we are weeping and wiping our eyes and drying our tears, they're already in heaven. Amen? They're already rejoicing. They're already in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they've passed away. I know one thing. That's one thing I know about my funeral is I won't be there worrying about it. If there's any sadness there, it won't be on my part. I'll be with the Lord and enjoying the land that he has prepared for his people. I can't tell you today, really. I can't tell you today what heaven will truly be like. All I can do is share with you the things that we find written in the scriptures. But what I do know is this, that God's people know that it's real, and we know that we're going. And the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he expressed that, and he said, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And he said, "For in this," that is, in this knowledge that we have, "in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so that being clothed we shall not be found naked." And he's talking there about that yearning that sometimes we feel in our hearts when we are earnestly desiring our heavenly residence. We're earnestly desiring to take up a residence in that place that God has prepared for his people, because we know that it's there. We know that we have a home in heaven. I've only got one thing to say for people that dispute that. I've only got one thing to say, honestly, to people that say you can't know that. They need to get saved. They need to get saved. If they get saved, they'd quit making that silly argument. If they get saved, they would know it. They would know it. They would know what's waiting for them. And so, we're not in the dark. We're not completely in the dark, though there are things that we don't yet understand. you know, as it's written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. We do possess the knowledge that it's there and it's waiting for us and that we have a home there. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. And he said, if that wasn't the truth, I wouldn't have told that to you. And that's good enough for me because the Lord Jesus Christ never told a lie. It's not even consistent with his divine nature to do so. And so there is a place, and one day the Lord said that those who are his will hear, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, I want to say this today to anybody here that's not saved. Wouldn't you like to go to this wonderful place when your life is over? You know, those of us who are saved, we have something better waiting for us than what we're experiencing right now. You know, I mean, here, as I said, here, we're living in a place where there is heartache and there is pain and there is sorrow, but we have a place waiting for us where those things don't exist. And so we would be better off if we were already there. You know, listen, when we get to heaven, we're going to be better off than we are now because we're going to be in that place that God has prepared for us where those things are forever removed. And so, you know, certainly the Lord could take us out right now and, you know, things would be far better for us. Just like Paul said, to be with Christ is far better. But he left us here that we might tell others about his salvation, that we might tell others about what the Lord did in order for them to be saved, in order for them what is required of them, in order for them to have this hope as well, and for them to know that they will be able to go to heaven also when they have passed from this life. And lost friend, listen, you can do that if you will meet the Lord's conditions. Brother Strode, I'm living the old song today. I woke up this morning feeling fine because I woke up with heaven on my mind. I think it's going to be great. I know it's going to be great. You know, I won't ever on a Sunday morning in heaven, I won't ever stand before a congregation of God's people again that have things bothering them. Have things that are bothering their hearts and saying, would you pray for this person or that person? Friends, those things will be gone. They'll be gone. We won't be experiencing that type of thing anymore. But heaven has been prepared for those who are prepared for heaven. It's a prepared place for prepared people. And if you haven't been saved, then you're not prepared. Listen, I don't know how some people feel about this, but I think that people that want to blame God for things and they want to say, well, you know, why would God not let, if he's a loving God and he's a merciful God, why would God not let everybody go to heaven? Let me tell you something, friends, and I really believe this. You may not look at it this way, but I really believe this. If an unregenerated, if an unsaved person went to heaven, they would feel more out of place and they would feel, I believe, even more uncomfortable than they would in the lower world. You wouldn't feel right at all in the assembly of the righteous. You have got to be saved to enter that place. Hell is a horrible place. It's a horrible place. It was prepared for the devil and his angels, and it will be occupied by all of those who fail to get right with God. But if you want to go to heaven, you've got to make the proper preparations. You must be born again. You must repent of your sins. You must trust in the Lord and seek Him until you know that you've been saved. And if you don't do that, you're going to miss heaven. You're not going to go there. God's not going to make any exceptions. You're either prepared when you leave this life, or you're not. And I want to urge you today. I'd like for us to have a song. And I want to urge you today, if you're lost and without the Lord, to not miss heaven, but you've got to make your preparations. You've got to make your preparations. Let's stand and sing.
Number 39. There'll be no shadows in heaven, no cares to darken the way. God's face with light will be shining throughout the eternal day. We'll all be joy up in heaven, beautiful city of gold. Contentment reigneth eternal, the half has ne'er yet been told. There'll be no weeping in heaven, no sorrow ever can come. God's hand all teardrops will banish. In heaven our home, sweet home. 'Twill all be joy up in heaven, beautiful city of gold. Contentment reigneth eternal, the half has ne'er yet been told. There'll be no parting in heaven, for time and space count no more. God's love will there reunite us with dear ones who've gone before. 'Twill all be joy up in heaven, beautiful city of gold. Contentment reigneth eternal, the half has ne'er yet been done.